Good afternoon to all my friends out there. Good afternoon. Do not feel despair. There's a time coming where you can stand up. There's an age before us where the dark winds blow. All the freaks, all the grifters, all the con artists, politicians and lawyers, well, they're going to have a rude awakening, and it's coming real soon. It's April the 6th, 2026, right around 2 o'clock p.m., and if you haven't been living on a planet, then you know very well that we are in the second month of a war with Iran. I couldn't even remotely tell you anything more than that, but let's listen to Papa Blumpity Blump a little here. Oh, are you on mute? Okay, well, you shouldn't be on mute, should you? Let's listen to Papa Blumpity Blump here, okay, and see what he has to say.
Their anti-aircraft equipment is gone. We're flying wherever we want to be. We have nobody even shooting at us.
The anti-aircraft is gone. No one is shooting at us. Yes, Papa Blumpity Blump said it was all okay. Except it's not. But let's read something from today. Headline. This is coming from the MiddleEastEye.net. And Trump says Iranians are animals when asked why he would bomb power plants. This comes today, April the 6th, 2026. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Monday that Iranians are animals. Therefore, bombing their civilian infrastructure, like power plants, would, you know, that's not a war crime. How would it not be a war crime to strike Iran's bridges and power plants? A reporter asked Papa Blump. Because they killed 45,000 people last month. They're animals, Trump said, referring to casualty numbers from a brutal crackdown on demonstrations earlier this year. According to official figures, 3,107 people were killed, including protesters and security forces and bystanders. Opposition groups say the real number is much higher. Much higher. The U.S.-based human rights organization HRANA estimates 7,000 deaths. Although other Iranian opposition groups abroad have said tens of thousands were killed. Wow, numbers are a problem for these people. Attacking civilian infrastructure is generally considered a war crime. So, a long time ago, I wore a uniform and I swore the oath and I received training. Some of my training was related to the laws of war. Just war theory, which means is the war itself just, and what you're allowed to do in a war. That's, you know, justice in war or the laws of war itself. And these are two distinct subjects. You can behave according to the law with respect to a war and still be committing a war crime if the war itself is not just. Post Nuremberg, any war of aggression is classified as an unjust war. And based on Nuremberg, every war crime stems from that, branches from that. The basic war crime, the ultimate war crime, is to launch an illegal war of aggression. This is what President Trump and Netanyahu did on February the 28th of this year. whatever kind of slicing and dicing you want to do, if you want to play pretend with 12-dimensional chess, that's fine. But it is simply a fact that the United States has committed war crimes since February the 28th, and we continue to commit war crimes. Using a statistic that we cannot verify as a justification for war crimes is still illegal. If the Germans during World War II killed a bunch of civilians, that did not mean that the United States had a right to go into Germany and kill a bunch of random civilians. One war crime does not justify another. That's not how the law works. If you think that way, then it's a revenge cycle. And that's not the way the laws of war work. So even if you want to buy Trump's explanation, they're animals, because 45,000 or 50,000 or 7,000, nobody knows the fucking number. So many thousands of Iranians were killed by the Iranian government. Okay. We should deconstruct how many Americans have been killed by the United States government. Because just from illegal experimental testing since World War II, that's about 500,000. 500,000 Americans experimented on without their knowledge and killed. That's 500,000 people. Does that mean that anybody can invade us and take over? Does that mean that any country can start lobbing missiles at us because our government's crooked? A crooked government does not justify the evil of another nation. I don't know why I have to explain this to adults, but I do. I mean, it's funny right now because I'm currently on suspension from school because I had a hard time explaining to adults that, you know, something that should be obvious wasn't so obvious. And yeah, that's as much as I can say about that, really. So I guess there are a lot of children in charge right now. And if that makes you feel better, well, you're confused. Next article. This comes from the New York Post headline. Desperate search for missing pilot of F-15E jet down by Iran stretches into second day. This was published on April the 3rd. The desperate search for the missing American pilot of the F-15E that was shot down over Iran stretched into the second day, after his co-pilot was rescued in a daring search and rescue mission that saw other U.S. aircraft targeted. Crews were racing against time to find the second pilot of the Strike Eagle, which is believed to have gone down Friday in Kogiluye, I think, Boyer Ahmad province in southwestern part of the country near Iraq. The New York Times reported, Iranian officials quickly placed a bounty on the pilot's head, calling on civilians to help capture him or her. Retired Marine combat pilot Captain Ron Alvarado told the Post, the timing of the attack may bode in the U.S. favor in terms of finding the pilot because of better night vision and infrared communication technology than the Iranian combatants have. We own the night, Alvarado said. Hopefully he or she will be rescued by morning. By early Saturday local time, there were no updates on the status of the missing pilot. Both pilots reportedly ejected from the plane, with one located and rescued by U.S. forces hours later. I'm going to stop here. There is a list of planes that were lost. A couple C-130s, specialized C-130s, each one of them carrying these specialized, you know, we would call them, I think, the OH-1 or OH-6, but these tiny little, you know, teardrop helicopters. I think they were called, they weren't Kiowas, but the little teardrops. They've been around a long time. And two of those little teardrop helicopters can fit in each C-130. So we lost four of those, supposedly. Two C-130s, a couple of A-10s, knocked out or disabled. One F-15. And some other helicopters and equipment. We don't have any hard data on casualties. What we're told right now is nobody died. If you look at the wreckage, if you look at what was left behind, it's hard to believe that no American casualties occurred. It's not implausible. I mean, again, these are special forces. They have magical powers. You know, magical powers. But it looks like a debacle. It looks like a failure. They're trying to spin it that they spent billions and billions to save one pilot, and that's great. The problem is they're fighting people who, how can I phrase it, have a different calculus of warfare. Or another way of putting it, the Iranians aren't as worried about their casualties as we are. If you believe the Trump story, then the whole thing looks like a bad function in mathematical terms. It basically means we can't win. Now, we could bomb them back into the Stone Age, as Trump says. We could. We absolutely could. The next step up from conventional weapons is nuclear weapons. And if we actually want to bomb Iran back into the Stone Age, which means completely eliminate their modern technology, conventional weapons won't work. And the other problem is this. We went through a lot of our standoff weapons. Now we have to go deeper into Iranian territory to bomb targets. That's a problem. On top of the fact that they're utilizing air defense techniques that I was aware of 30 years ago as an air defense officer. It is surprising. No, that's not true. The reason why I resigned in 1999 was all the fucking incompetence in politics in the army. It didn't get better with the wars, folks. It got worse. Okay? Air defense was basically told since the Iraq War to stand down. Let me repeat that. Army air defense was told you're not important, we'll use your FLIR, stand down, don't turn on your radar, we don't give a fuck because the Air Force controls the skies. Yeah, that goes back to the 90s, to the Clinton administration. We have about 3 decades of rot in the air defense branch of the United States Army. 3 decades. Which general is going to be responsible for that? Which colonel is going to claim, oh, I'm responsible? None of them. None of them. I saw the rot in the late 90s. Others saw the rot as well. Nobody fixed it. And yet somehow we're $39 trillion in debt. Are you guys getting it yet? The Iranians are using passive infrared. What that means is, unlike a radar system that projects a radio beam, passive infrared only receives information. It only receives information in the form of infrared light spectrum photons, which means you can't detect it. There are probably acoustic and passive infrared sensors and probably negative UV sensors. Huh, would you like to know what that is? There are sensors that are probably relatively cheap all over Iran. And so Trump is getting ready to send the U.S. Air Force on a mission where it's very likely a lot of planes are going to get shot down, to include our magical B-2s, because, hey, they may be good with radar, but that doesn't mean they're so good with passive infrared. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. And when it comes to negative UV, a B-2 is a giant fucking target in the sky. And most people don't know what negative UV is. It's actually really fucking simple. Ultraviolet light also comes down from the sun during the day. And people say, well, Dan, those infrared sensors, you're right. They're not going to be as useful during the day. But the negative UV is bang on. And all of these special craft that have really good anti-radar characteristics are still giant triangles in the fucking sky when it comes to negative UV. So you have to imagine Iran has passive sensors all over the place. Acoustic, infrared, and negative UV at least. Plus, they're detecting radio signals. They're detecting comms traffic. They're monitoring satellite flows. You guys keeping up with me. These are not the Iraqis. This is not Venezuela. This is not Cuba. This is not the average poors we've been fighting. We have been Rocky Balboa fighting all the weak players. And finally, there's Clubber Lang, and he's going to punch us in the face. And our plan is gone. And we won't get a second match. That's it. When they game this out during the Cold War, towards the end of the Cold War, most people came to the conclusion that the conventional kinetic aspect wouldn't last more than 90 fucking days, for the simple fact that, unlike the Soviet Union, we could not mass produce our magical shit. The argument that, you know, McDonnell Douglas, Lockheed, Raytheon, the argument that Boeing makes, that all these companies make, is that one of our fighters is worth 50 of theirs, so we don't need to make as many, but that's a load of horse shit. It doesn't work that way. And we're starting to learn that. It's true. A MOAB carries a god-awful amount of explosive power. You know, several fucking tons of high explosive and thermite in a dart designed to penetrate deep, deep, deep. And even with all that, it is unlikely that the MOABs will put a dent into these bunkers. We've already learned that. That's why we're attacking civilian targets. Yes, the people working with Trump right now, they're ghoulish and they joke about it and they think it's funny. It's not funny. It's not only not funny, but it's an unequivocal war crime. And if you voted for Papa Blumpity Blump, what the fuck is wrong with you? I told you guys years ago, I told you 10 fucking years ago, he was the Obama for the Republicans. So sorry, you're so fucking confused. I told you voting doesn't work. You're still fucking confused, some of you. Well, by the end of this summer, you might not be so fucking confused if you're real. And I've learned a few things in the last 24 hours about some of my followers. And let's just say my little list, my target list is getting longer. Oh, is that? No, that's just me tracking people. Tracking the bullshit artists, tracking the fakers, tracking the feds, right, Secret Service? Yeah. So like with all mad, insane, tyrannical situations, there's been a purge. And the person in charge of the purge is Pete Hegseth. One of the targets of the purge was the top general for the U.S. Army. You guys can look into this yourself. Army Chief of Staff Randy George stepped down. A couple other generals have stepped down or retired. There has been a soft purge of a lot of officers since the autumn of last year. And it's entirely plausible that much or most of this is related to the loyalty oath to the state of Israel. Now, I know some of you want to say, well, Dan, I can follow you, but Netanyahu's a bad apple. Shut the fuck up. You need to dig deep into the people that occupy that desert. Number one, a lot of those motherfuckers are not genetically Hebrew. They're LARPing it pretty well, but they're not. They're Polish, they're Turkish, they're Ukrainian. So number one, these aren't actually the ancient Hebrews that used to live there. Number two, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, king means sovereign, and guess what? It doesn't matter if you vote for them. In 1 Sam 8, the Lord has a perpetual curse. You form a government, you create a god, a king, whether you vote for them or not. If you create an object of worship separate from the Lord, you are cursed, and you will be destroyed. And on that day that you scream out, I won't be listening because you did this to yourselves. 1 Sam 8, folks, is a perpetual curse against every king, every government, every crooked son of a bitch who wants to turn Israel into some state. Israel's a people, according to the Bible. It is the children of Jacob, according to the Bible. It's not some fucking government. But people are confused, and that's okay. This next article comes from the Daily Beast. It was published on April the 3rd. Headline, Trump's brutal four-word firing message to Pam Bondi exposed. This is written by William Villancourt. I wonder if he's an AI. Donald Trump brutally ended Pam Bondi's career as his attorney general while they rode in his limousine to the Supreme Court on Wednesday. I think it's time, Trump told Bondi, the Wall Street Journal reported. He had in fact decided to fire her earlier in the week. But waited to do it in the back of the beast, turning what is seen as an honor given to a chosen few, a one-on-one in his limousine, into a humiliation ritual. Bondi, 60 years old, was forced to enter the Supreme Court knowing her time was up. The Journal reported that the two had discussed her leaving since January. Even after she was fired in the limousine, she begged to stay, sources told the paper. But she did not even get the sort of made-up job given to Kristi Noem when she was removed as Homeland Security Secretary. Bondi now enters history as having the shortest tenure of a Senate-confirmed attorney general since 1975, when Gerald Ford forced out Richard Nixon's final appointee, Richard Saxby. Trump, it has been reported, was displeased with Bondi's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files and the lack of progress on prosecutions of his perceived political enemies like former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. Bondi, according to the report, said to others that some of Trump's demands weren't possible and were outside of things she could do. That sounds illegal. Whether Bondi was talking about actions she could not legally do is unclear. The Department of Justice, where Bondi will stay through the month, did not immediately respond to a request for comment from the Daily Beast, nor did the White House. I'm going to stop right there. There's a few more things you can read, but the link is in the notes, so you can read it yourself or learn to read if you don't know how. I have said for a long time that Bo Blimpdoc would end with something called popping smoke. And it's not that there's just one smoke grenade. There's several. There is an eruption of quote-unquote truth, right? A lot of truth gets released, and it's confusing, and it makes people angry, and there's no resolution. You have freaks like Trump saving America, and it's crazy, and it's divisive, and there's no resolution. The purpose of popping smoke is to keep people busy and confused, right at the very time their life depends on having their eyes open and looking around and seeing what's going on, to include the fucking skies. If you believe that Trump is more than a column of smoke, that there is something there, there's the ego and the narcissism and the history, if you want to give him the energy of being a real person, then this type of purge is to be expected. And it's not just the purge, it's the rats leaving the sinking ship, you know, like Joe Kent. Oh, don't call him a rat. Any motherfucker that took Trump seriously and voted for him in 2016 deserves to be called a fucking moron for the rest of their fucking lives. And it's not because voting for him changed history. It's because they thought it would. Okay? Nothing was going to be changed. It didn't matter who won. It mattered for the theater. It mattered to keep you guys confused. The deplorable was required. But whether one won or the other won, no. The purpose was to piss people off. I said this a few weeks ago. I tip my hat to the PSYOP engineers at CIA, because what they've done since 2020 is fucking brilliant. Have they co-opted every brain? No, you don't have to. The con, the grift, the op, doesn't require everybody. It requires enough people. And they've had enough people hooked by their bullshit for 6-7 years, baby. This is the phase of tyranny. This is the blame storming. And when I say blame storming, this is the part of a crisis where the tyrant is going to find people to toss under the bus. Now, if Trump really wanted to save his fucking ass and basically prevent World War III, there's one thing he could do, and he could still do it, and that is toss the state of Israel under the bus. He could do it. These are not our allies. These are not our friends. These are not good people. These are people who sat up on hills eating fucking popcorn and fucking kosher hot dogs, watching their neighbors being burned alive by white phosphorus. These are not good people. Fuck you if you want to tell me, well, there's a few bad eggs. You need to research that nest, folks. There's a lot of fucking bad eggs. Does that mean being a Jewish person is bad? No. But Zionism is a fucking death cult, and it probably has zero to do with being a Hebrew. So if you're a Jewish person, throw away the Zionist bullshit, because you're seeing it on display right now, and it's fucked up and it's evil. Next topic. Imagine for a moment, imagine. There was one universe. No multiverse. No bubble universes a la Hawking. Just one universe. just one timeline. The multiverse is freshman philosophy bullshit. There was only ever one unlikely creation. It attempted to be born. It was dead on arrival. The consciousness you feel is the waste heat from the one and only consciousness, awareness of the universe itself right before it implodes. There was no universe before this one. There won't be. There will not be one after. Nothingness rules. Now, if you want to know if that's my new mantra, it is not. But in the darkness of night, when I think about Papa Blumpity Blump, and I think about all the real just incredibly fucking stupid people out there who are waddling their way towards oblivion, when I think about all the talking heads and edgelords with 1 million followers who complain about throttling, and I'm now paying X, and I can get 3 impressions a week, maybe, right? If I pay them money. No, folks. None of this was going to end well. All of this bullshit, all this lying, all this deception was never going to end well. We're in popping smoke. Bo Blimp Doc is almost over. What comes next is an age of consequences. If we're really fucking lucky, it's just the collapse of the dollar empire. And that's going to be bloody fucking horrible. And if we're unlucky, it's global permafrost collapse. And that will be even more fucking horrible, and the dollar collapse is baked into that. When the building is aflame, find some poor folks to blame. If the poor scream out loud, if the poor's get in a bad mood, take away their food. When the treasury is depleted, the poor's will find they've been cheated. If the war goes on too long, the powerful state will commission a song of power and fire, bravery and might, and they'll make the poor's listen day and fucking night. Probably be Bon Jovi, you fuck. Nero dances, Stalin prances, Hitler shines in ballroom shoes. Queen and princes, kings and kooks, every fluke, each mistake, find some poor soul's a scapegoat. Don't gloat, drink your brew. If you're poor, they're coming for you. The building is on fire. The barbarians are at the gate. The hate-filled skies, forever lies, evil desire, and a wood chipper ready, preparing the way. Every day, poor souls tossed away, and the state smiles as the parasites run and go start another one down the road just for fun. When the building is aflame, find some poor folks to blame. If the poor people get in a bad mood, take away their fucking food. Not a bioweapon, not a nuclear war, not a civil crisis, not a herpes-ridden whore, just famine, banal. They've used famine to kill a lot of folks. Look at the population of Ireland, 1800 to 1900. They've used famine to kill a whole bunch of folks for 7,000 fucking years. So if one of you motherfuckers comes at me, oh damn, they're going to use a bioweapon. No. Why would they? Famine works. It is predictable. It's controllable. Okay? Bioweapons, your enemies can capture them and re-engineer them. At this point, the entry point for bioengineering is so low. No. You wouldn't use a bioweapon. But you'd do what they've done for 7,000 fucking years, buddy. And if you're thinking it's no big deal, I don't care. You could be a Fed, you could be real. I got a lot of Feds who listen to me. Not very many real people do. To the Feds out there, your situation only gets worse. It does. It only gets worse. I don't care if you live in a donut around Washington, D.C., or you live someplace in Maryland. Your situation gets kind of fucking terrible because your neighbors know. Your friends know. The people with power, they're going to get the fuck out of Dodge. In fact, most of them already have, and they've left you hanging. If you're a Fed listening to me, good fucking luck, because you will be left behind. And all the anger and all the hate, all the screaming people and their starving children are going to come for you. Good fucking luck. So SpaceX is getting ready to file for an IPO. And again, I don't care. You know, if you've been keeping up with this Artemis 2 mission, which I'm not going to report on today, I feel no need to fuel fantasy and various types of fan fiction and LARPing. But when you think about this IPO, it's kind of like the final pump and dump. I don't know. I'm certain it will happen, right? But it's going to be one of those moments where they will, in so many ways, goose the market to just make it seem like it's morning in America again, right? Everything's okay, no big deal. Maybe they're saving it for next week or next month. Tell you the truth, at this point, given how shitty the Iran war is going, they're going to have to do this pretty soon. But I don't know how many more pump and dumps are left, buddy. You better do it soon. Here's an article from NBC News, and this fits more into the category of actual news and not bullshit Boblimtok news. This headline, Saving the Snow for Next Year, Ski Resorts Try Snow Farming as Temperatures Rise. Subtitle, the approach involves making snow when conditions are ideal and then piling it high under an insulated mat through the summer. Several ski areas are giving it a go. This article is written by Evan Bush and published on March the 27th. Amid the West's worst snow drought in modern history, several ski areas are attempting a novel approach, storing up artificial snow and preserving it until next ski season. Known as snow farming, the practice involves making snow when conditions are ideal. Nature used to do that. In cold, dry weather and piling it two or three stories high, then covering the mound with a large insulated mat to shield it from the sun and the rain. When a ski resort wants to open in the fall, it can spread the snow back over the runs rather than relying on the weather. I'm going to stop right here. I have asked and pleaded for whatever human listeners exist to my stupid fucking podcast to apply some Sovietology. Snow farming is not a good sign. You can say, well, Dan, that's just left-wing propaganda. Is it, buddy? There are fires around the Arctic Circle that burn through the winter and haven't gone out in 10 years. Okay, you can talk about the snowstorm in Florida, Raytheon, but the reality is when you look at real weather and not bullshit weather, there's not a lot of snow. It takes a lot of Raytheon gumbus to make the snow now, and it's possible they're reaching the end of that solution, not without poisoning everybody at the same time. It's not a good sign, folks. And this fits closer to what the news is than any of the Iran bullshit or the Ukraine war or Papa Blumpity Blump or his enemies. That's the drama. That's the shit they're using to carpet bomb your third eye. You getting it yet, motherfucker? I have an article that comes from the Collapse blog, but it has a link to, and it's from Jeffrey Deal. Jeffrey Deal's Substack. It was published on March the 28th, and the headline is Leaving Las Vegas. No doubt most of you since 2000 know that the Colorado River has been under a crushing siege. An intensifying 1,200-year mega drought, longer than that, nobody knows when the last drought like this was, A February 2022 UCLA-led study disturbingly found from 2000 to 2022, the U.S. Southwest mega drought was the region's driest in at least 1,200 years. Well, maybe longer. The study was then published in the peer-reviewed journal Nature Climate Change in February 2022. The article is irritatingly paywalled after the abstract as if I don't need to know. Nice, the droll headline reads, "Rapid intensification of the emerging southwestern North American mega drought 2020 to 2021. I was thinking happy thoughts, you know, about the economic fallout of a $2 billion a day war ordered up by a demented reality TV show character, a former Fox News moron promoted to Secretary of War, it's called not defense anymore, folks, and a twerpy, expressionless white nationalist Nazi named Stephen Miller, possibly the real president. The kind of kid who pulled wings off of flies and the kind of people that order missile strikes on a girl's school. I was also thinking about agricultural failure, not just from the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, which includes critical fertilizer, a third grader could have predicted this, but about that well-known western drought in upper and lower basin states. Already they have experienced a heat wave weeks ahead of our lost normal that has resulted in hundreds of unwelcome records, with predictions of a super El Nino this summer. This year looks to be one of the hottest ever, again rivaling 2023 through 2024. This heat wave has featured temperatures dozens of degrees above average, ominous signs for intensified drought and perilous southwest fire conditions. Fires are already sweeping Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, weeks ahead of season, consuming more than 1 million acres. These records are bad enough, but there is more to talk about. Sorry. Sorry about that. I ended up getting off of that site because of something that happened. 2023 was the warmest year on records going back to 1850. Again, folks, 1850 is when we started tracking. With El Nino developing in the spring, which warms the Pacific, 2024 was hotter still. As noted by both NOAA and Copernicus, 2025 was slightly cooler than 2024, but still near 2023 levels. The past 3 years were the hottest ever recorded on the planet, and the past 11 warmest recorded once again since 1850. Guys, 1850 is not a magical year. That's when we started recording this shit. Currently, we are in La Nina conditions, the cooler of the trade wind cycles, but that is set to flip back to El Nino this summer. 2026 will once again be one of the hottest on record as global human-caused greenhouse emissions continue to climb unabated. This imperils every person on Earth, but today I am focusing on the American Southwest, hence the cheeky title of this article, Leaving Las Vegas. Apologies to Sheryl Crow. Perhaps the poster child for human hubris and collapse, being built in the desert for no other reason than gambling, spectacle, and decadent entertainment. The upper basin states consist of Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. The lower basin states are Nevada, Arizona, and California. The 1922 Colorado River Compact also provided water rights to a portion of Mexico. Oh, wow, at least we're thinking about them. This agreement was arrived upon at a time of unusual wetness for the region, overpromising the resource before the signatories' ink even dried. Inclusion of Mexico recognizes water is life and that workings of a planet see no man-made boundaries. We'll see how that goes as the Colorado River dries up. In total, the Colorado River Basin provides irreplaceable water and power to 40 million people, including 29 Native American tribes. It's essential in irrigating nearly 5.5 million acres of agricultural land, including California, whose economy is mentioned as the fifth largest in the world. Cities such as Los Angeles and Denver are in immediate danger too, as the Colorado River is reduced to a trickle and now barely reaching the ocean. Less than half the normal amount of water flowed into Lake Powell in 2025 from the upper basin states. The last summer of forcing farmers and ranchers to cut back on water use, fallow fields, and elimination of jobs to conserve water. Although the Hoover Dam at Lake Mead is far more famous, power generation, or the lack thereof, starts at Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Powell. The Glen Canyon Dam features 8 power turbines that stop functioning at 3,490 feet of water level. That's Deadpool. Under current conditions, that level is expected to fall to that level by the end of the summer. Deadpool, by the end of the summer. Lake Mead was 1,064 feet above sea level on March the 21st, down 10 feet compared to 2024 and 3 feet compared to 2025. If the surface of Lake Mead drops below 1,035 feet, only 5 of the 17 Hoover Dam turbines can operate. Currently, the lake is projected to drop to 1,032 by November 2027. The plight of the Colorado River Compact is a result of far too optimistic assessments in 1922, fossil fuel-driven climate change, lack of snowpack, and greedy overuse from an illness called capitalism. I don't really agree with that. Yeah, I'm going to stop there because he's going all commie. Capitalism did not create Vegas, folks. A capitalist, and if you had free enterprise, let's pretend, let's put on our helmet that's called free enterprise. A couple of things. Number one, the major dam projects, the building of the dams, this didn't happen because ordinary people wanted the dams, okay? I don't care if it's the Bonneville Power Administration. I don't care if it's the TVA or the Tennessee Valley Authority. I don't care if it's the districts that involve Hoover Dam and Glen Allen and whatever bullshit. These projects are paid for with tax dollars, with bonds, with government, with lots of lawyers and lots of guns pointing at people. These projects happen not because of free enterprise, but because somebody says, we need the extra electricity. And you know what? We're simply going to build it and then make other people pay for it. Do we think about the future? Do we concern ourselves with the impacts in the future? No, because we can just take magical money, aka Fed printed money. We can go into debt, we can issue a bond, and we can build it. If you take away these kinds of commie fiat central bank institutional bullshit apparatus, then guess what? These things don't get built until people have a good reason to build them. And it's entirely plausible that we would have never built them, because there are other better options, to include natural gas and nuclear. But this is where we're at, folks. There's a reason why great civilizations are not founded in the middle of a fucking desert. There's just really basic logical reasons. And you can say, well, Dan, with today's technology, once Iran takes out the desal plants of the UAE and all the other countries in the Gulf, the Arab states, to include Saudi Arabia, you're going to find out how well these high-tech nations do without water. And that doesn't take a month, that doesn't take a week, that takes 3 to 4 days. And then imagine you don't have the electricity generation. So let's say we're in September, and the temperature in Vegas is 120 degrees, but, you know, it's a dry heat. Electricity's failed, and the humidity actually is going up a bit, so the wet bulb is closer to 150. Oh, but also, you're on water restrictions too, you know, because we've run out of water. Yeah, they drink their own pee in Vegas, but that only works so well without electricity, folks. Yeah, did anybody explain to the intellectuals in Vegas that if you don't have electricity, it doesn't matter? Oh, but you use reverse osmosis, you use pumps, you use technology. All of it needs electricity. It's coming from the same fucking sources that are going dry. Oh, but we got a gas plant. I know you do. It needs water also. Now, I don't like the whole anti-capitalist shit, because I think the problem with this country for 100 years hasn't been too much freedom. It's been too little. It's been the lying and the tyranny and the bullshit. And I think enough Americans want it so much, the bullshit, the lying. They want the grift so much that there's no fixing this. We are going off the cliff. Arguably, we're already in the air right now. Thelma and Louise, right? Wile E. Coyote, we're in the air right now. and we're playing pretend right now that everything's okay. And the very moment we look down and realize there's nothing there, that's when we're fucked. That moment is weeks away. Maybe it happens this summer, but I kind of think the people who run things know it's going to happen, and they're just going to add a bit of gasoline to the fire. Let's call it that. Here's a Truth Social tweet from Donald Trump. Tuesday, that's tomorrow. Tuesday will be power plant day. Enbridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it. Open the fucking strait. Open the fucking strait, you crazy bastards. Or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. Praise be to Allah. You'll be living in hell, you crazy bastards. Open the fucking strait. Yeah. Who voted for this guy? I know some people who did. And I know that some of them have a little bit of buyer's remorse, but they haven't quite, they're not quite there yet. They haven't quite figured out how fucking duped they were. Or that even if they voted for the other guy, they'd still be fucked. Yeah, I know a lot of people like that. They haven't started their Kubler-Ross yet. Or if they have, they're stuck in the turning circle. Denial, anger, bargaining. They're too afraid to get to depression because that's like approaching the truth, which means they'll never get to acceptance. The time is running out to understand what's happening, folks, and it is not going to be pretty. Best case scenario, the dollar will implode. Best case scenario, this drought, even if it is just a secular drought, a historical drought, this drought makes things like Vegas a giant question mark. And if the price of a barrel of oil goes to $200, people are going to leave Vegas, guys. Vegas is not tenable. You need a lot of cheap energy. You need cheap fuel. And what's important above all else, you need cheap fucking diesel. The entire world economy works on cheap diesel. You take away the cheap diesel, you're fucked. If you don't believe this, talk to a construction worker. Talk to a trucker. Talk to anybody that knows, to include the military. Diesel fuel. Yeah, good luck, Vegas. And I got a fake friend in Vegas, a Fed. I don't think he lives there. But wherever you are, someone's going to figure your ass out too, buddy. And you won't have a place to go. Now, maybe if you're a sociopath, you don't fucking care. And guess what? That's your only thing right now. That's your saving hope, that you're such a sociopath, you don't feel pain. But listen, buddy, they're going to come for you too, pal. No one's protecting you. Trump isn't even protected. Do you understand that? The people that are protected left the fucking stage in 2019. Get with the program, fucker. So I've been thinking about the local route changes. They changed the bus route locally. They made two significant changes in the last couple years, and the ones that happened most recently were major route changes. And you go, well, damn, that's just random. It's like 2019. It was just random that Seattle Metro went through this major reorg of Metro just before the monkey herpes, just before the COVID. Man, it's random, Dan. Okay. I believe a lot of middle management intel people retire around here, which means people with Q clearances. And having a Q clearance doesn't let you know things. It just means that you have an access privilege, but it doesn't mean you get to have access. However, these people being who they are, they talk to each other. And chances are somebody told somebody in the local government a year or two ago that, yeah, you're going to have to go to a free route, which means nobody pays, A, and B, you're going to have to re-engineer your routes to support people who currently drive to work. $200 a barrel, a lot of people are not going to be driving. Where I live, a lot of these intel freaks, these ex-CIA, ex-ONI, ex-whatever, ex-DARPA, these people, some of them drive electrics, a lot of them drive SUVs that get like 15 miles to the gallon, you know? Which means they're going to be fueling up soon, and this is maybe only a month away, maybe 2 months. They'll be fueling, they'll have a day in a month or two. where they're going to pay $200 or $300 to fill their tank. And no, they're not going to get magically more money. And for these people, if they're retired, they don't fucking care. But the folks that serve them food, the folks that clean their houses, and guess what? The robots aren't here yet, Elon. The folks that do the work that make the system work, they're not going to show up for work if they can't afford to drive there. They're not going to show up to work if they can't afford to fucking eat. Here's a little abstract, a little sample of something related to the science and technology part of the Trump White House. During a major science and technology conference in Texas in 2025, the Trump administration's top science official claimed that the United States now possesses the technology that can manipulate time and space and leave distance annihilated. Like distance is an animal, like the Iranians are animals. Michael Kratsios, or Crackpot, director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, made the striking statements on April the 14th, 2025, during his keynote address at Endless Frontiers Retreat in Austin. Sounds like a pedo festival. The event brought together a lot of pedos and rapists and scientists and other business rapist leaders who were interested in innovating new ways to rape people. Crackpot said the U.S. is entering the early light of a new golden shower age of America. Calling for a renewed national push, Trump knows. Calling for a renewed national push into advanced technology. Our technologies permit us to manipulate time and space, Crackpot said. They leave distance annihilated, like the Iranians, cause things to grow and improve productivity. That's non sequitur. He did not clarify whether these claims were literal or metaphorical. Huh, why would he? He's a fucking con artist. But the language has already sparked intense speculation. Of course, that's what trauma monkeys do. And guess what? Whoever's focused on a story like this is also doing nothing to protect themselves or their families from what's coming. So yeah, stay focused on that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I have a couple screenshots from the Artemis II mission, and you can look at these pictures. They're available online. I cannot possibly fucking identify the continent that's in the picture. It could be Australia, but it seems to be taking up way too much of the hemisphere. And then there's this other unidentified island that looks unrealistic. But what's more interesting, and this is very similar to the 1969 blue marble pictures, you have cloud patterns on this blue marble picture that they recently took that look like they stretch 2, 3, 4, 5,000 miles. Now, you can say, well, damn, that's normal. It's not really that normal to have cloud patterns that cover up half the sky. So it's strange. I'm not saying it means anything, but to me, it does not look like a picture from halfway to the moon. It looks like a picture from orbit. And they're just sort of like zooming it out and giving you the fisheye perspective to make it look like they're far away. But in reality, it's a lot like how they faked the shots back in 1969. They are trying to CGI in some stars, though. So, remember Bob? Bob, the Q clearance guy? Bob, the ex-U.S. Air Force officer who probably pulls in 60 to 70K a year just for sitting on his ass. Bob, who probably charged a consulting fee of $200 to $300 an hour. Bob, who was in our special ed room for a week, right before February the 28th. And in retrospect, it seems weird to me. Now, as you all know, back in November-ish, October-ish, whatever, right around the time we finally got a place to live and we weren't worried about being in the streets, I grabbed some whiskey and I was on Twitter and I got a little bit pissed off and I threatened the president of the United States of Asmerica. Oh my God, Dan, you're terrible, really? Means, motive, opportunity, common law, fuck you. Anybody who'd done any kind of analysis of what I posted would have known the next day I deleted it, which is another way of saying I made a mistake, I corrected it. But I still got a phone call from the Secret Service. They asked me all the questions. Do you know how to work with super-duper explosives? I said, oh my God. Do you have a kung fu grip? I said, fuck. Do you have the ability to use your mind to stop a human heart? Oh, you listen, I can do it over the phone, fucker. Now, it's funny, the pro-mega edgelords, the really pro-Trump edgelords are justifying his fuck Iran statements, his Stone Age statements, his I don't care if we kill the animal statements. These motherfuckers, including Bob, who was talking about Israel in some golden light, and he pointed up at a church. I go to church up there, Dan. Really, Bob? You'd be surprised. I might check on you up there sometime. These morally diseased people, okay, can talk about dropping bombs on innocent people all fucking day long. But oh my God, old drunk whiskey Dan threatened Trump in a pathetic way, a mistaken way. I shouldn't have done it. But my God, that could be one of the reasons why I lose my job. Because hey, if you voted for Trump right now, there's something called cognitive dissonance. You need to believe you're not a fucking moron. You need to believe you're not a fucking idiot. And if the mushroom clouds start sprouting, you have to convince yourself that you didn't make a mistake. And guess what? If a Democrat were in charge right now, I'd tell you the same fucking shit. Because it's losing the football. No matter who you voted for in 2020 or 2024, no matter who you ever fucking voted for, everything that's happening right now was always going to happen. You gotta get over that shit. If you want a chance in hell to survive what's coming, you gotta get over the idea that the voting ever worked. It never fucking did. But good luck, though, Bob. Whatever your fucking name is. And then there's Gunther Eagleman, a made-up name, a U.S. Air Force troll farm, a freak from Planet X. Here's a tweet from Gunther, and this is from November of 2023. If gas hits 10 to 12 bucks a gallon, I still won't buy an electric car. I'm just that guy. Now here's a quote from April 2025. My new Model S Plaid is home. Thank you to Tesla. Thank you to Elon Musk for making this badass electric car. The acceleration is things wild. Yeah. A lot of these accounts on social media, folks, they're not real. There could be a real person who plays a role, a faker, and fakers in the history of clandestine warfare are just an essential thing. In fact, the oldest tech in clandestine warfare is the faker, the thespian, the actor. So I have no idea who this fucking Gunther guy is. But you only have to follow him for 6 months to realize he's full of shit. And every 6 or 8 months, he'll say something to contradict himself. But he's not worried about that. He knows people don't keep track. He knows enough people right now are so broken, so diseased, so stressed out, they can't keep track. They're so busy. They're so worried. They go to the grocery store. They look at some ground beef. 2 months ago, that ground beef was $8. Last month, it was $12. Today, it was $24. And there's probably going to come a time in the next 60 days where the motherfucker's going to look at that ground beef and say, fuck, they want $50? And then you realize that Alan Greenspan's prognosis was always true in a way. Hamburger is the new steak. Folks, I am not clairvoyant. I don't pretend to see the future. Most of my tools for navigating this wilderness, I have been extraordinarily fucking honest about the last 10 years, okay? I call myself a Sovietologist. What I do is look at the news knowing one thing. There's a reason I'm seeing the article. If you know that first thing, that all of this stuff, I don't care if it's the woman cooking pizza in the woods on YouTube, I don't care if it's fucking edgelord talking about clean water on Rumble, I don't care if it's the political freak from whatever spectrum you want to pick. If you're seeing that voice, if that voice is being presented, there's a reason. It's not fucking random. It's not capitalism. It's not freedom. You live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. If you don't know that you live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole, like I said, I can't help you. What's coming next is going to shock the fuck out of you. A lot of you are dazed right now, like you've been hit by a fish mallet. If you don't come too soon, it won't just be your life at stake. It'll be the people you fucking care about. And if you come back to me, well, I'm living day by day. You keep doing that, buddy. But when the day comes you can't do it, you'll have choices too. And those choices will get harder and harder and harder. And it won't be linear. It won't be gradual. It won't be forgiving. It'll be cascading and discontinuous and mean as fuck. It'll be brutal. And if I'm right, and I think I am, Grinkin' time starts pretty soon. Maybe it starts in June. Maybe it starts in May. Maybe we gotta wait for August for shit to get really real. And you start seeing people trying to leave Vegas, and oopsie, there's no fucking gasoline for them to leave Vegas. Oh, oopsie. Oh, oopsie. Yeah, good luck marching through the desert. And before you say that's insane or crazy, look at the fucking world right now. Do you think the people that run things give a fuck about you? Do you think they care if you starve or you drown, you know, or you die of thirst or you drown? Do you think they care if they use geoengineering to target an atmospheric river at Appalachia the same way they did the Ho Chi Minh Trail? Do you think they fucking care? If you do, you're confused. The United States government has experimented on populations with biological warfare since World War II. The United States government has abducted children and, frankly, used children in places like Denmark who are orphans for illegal experimentation. This is your fucking government. If you want to come back to me and say, well, Dan, it's different today, God damn it. Open your fucking eyes before it's too fucking late. I'm not talking to my listeners who are real. I only got one or two of those. I'm talking to the feds who are listening right now. You can still protect your family. You can still protect yourself. But you gotta fucking quit your job and you gotta get the fuck out of the hellhole you're in. Because otherwise, listen, the people you report to who really make decisions, maybe they'll be victims too. A lot of them are gonna get on their heterogeneous helicopters and leave. I'm talking to the Fed who's listening right now. You have one chance in hell of surviving this with your soul. Wake the fuck up. Have a great rest of your fucking Monday.